Act.
President Obama's been busy over the weekend. He's got a new name, his nominee for the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about that. BP still scratching their head, finding out a way to try to cap off this oil spill, and the spill takes a different turn. For some, it will cost them their livelihoods. For others, a big sigh of relief, maybe, just maybe. And the Attorney General comes out and says the Pakistani Taliban, at least one form of it, is absolutely behind the New York City bombing. Hey, everybody, hope you had a fabulous Mother's Day. To all the mothers out there, I hope it was everything you thought it would be. If you're just even hanging out with your kids, it's probably got to be good. Is it really about all the flowers and the candy and the presents? Yeah, of course it is. No, I'm kidding. But it was probably great to just kick back with the family. That's the key. And I know many of you had a chance to do that. I even got some pictures and stuff that you sent me on the email. I appreciate that. Remember, you can always tag me on americatonight.net, americatonight.net. So with that said, let's roll through all of this, including BP, because I really think that's the big story. When we talk about water cooler buzz here, hey, the left, the right, and the gray areas, we don't care. Everybody's invited to be part of the conversation. I'll tell you, everywhere I've gone, the conversation, as much as Faisal Shahzad and the nonsense with terrorism and the worry about who's assimilating among us across America is certainly big. And there are other things on the radar, too, like tackling illegal immigration and what's going on in Arizona. And will that have any effect on other states or ultimately legislation on the federal level? Right now, everything, I mean, every place I went, everybody is talking about the oil spill. And certainly, I'm sure in your own backyard, those conversations are going on, because the concern is how many beaches are going to be destroyed? Where is all of this going to land? Are we going to be walking on a beach where we paid XYZ for a year to take our kids to this beach and our families going, and we're walking on tar balls? That's what happens. If anybody remembers or you've ever been anywhere where they've had some kind of a spill, you get those tar balls. Then when you come off the beach, they give you a cotton ball and some baby oil to take it off of your feet, which is ridiculous. I don't want to go to a beach where I'm walking among tar balls like they're minefields and then swimming in that nonsense, and neither do any of you. So here's the scoop. Right now at this point, remember the giant steel box we told you about? They cannot lower the steel box, and the reason why is because they put the dome down. And the dome, gas has been crystallizing inside that dome, around that dome. There's no way to do the box thing until they get rid of the gas that has collected. So you've got problems with equipment all over the ocean floor. I mean, they are trying everything. No joke, I talked to an engineer today, and I think this is probably being reported at this point. They're talking about using golf balls and shredded tires, whatever it takes to do something about this deep water horizon disaster. They don't want it to become, of course they don't, the nation's worst spill. And the big thing is, when you think of shrimp and oyster and fish, and you think of beaches and people who make their living off of tourism, all the way along the coast through Florida, because initially it was thought that it was going to go to Florida. But then something that happened over the weekend was the turn to the west. So that spill has gone west, which means Texas and beyond Texas. So who is going to pay for that, since BP, by our laws, I mean, they have to pay for the cleanup, but they would only have to kick in $75 million to pay for other things, ancillary things, I'll call them, related to an oil spill, like people who make their living shrimping. And $75 million would never cover this bill. So there's legislation that's being crafted and will be introduced to make this retroactive, that BP would have to pay. Well, this is a scary thing. Saw an interview with the CEO on CNN. He was caught in the crosshairs and did one right when he's there at the spill. And here's a snippet of what he said about paying for the people who will lose their jobs or won't be able to make any money.
We are the responsible party. We are going to clean this up fully and completely. And we have said very clearly where there are legitimate claims for business interruption, then we will be good for them.
All right, Cece, there's your word, legitimate interruption. That's legalese there. You get a big attorney, you go into court. What is the legitimate interruption? Already they're trying to maneuver around this, but not looking like they're trying to maneuver around it. As you can imagine, a lot of people are up in arms about this, including the senator from Florida who's scared to death knowing what is happening in that state and the struggles they're having thanks to the housing crash, what it would mean if tourism crashed as well. Right now, like I mentioned, oil spill, I just checked it before we went on the air, going toward the west does not mean that can't change and doesn't mean it couldn't wreak havoc with the beaches in Florida and the livelihoods of the people there. Here's what Senator Nelson said.
No, if they get this thing contained in the next few days, that's one thing, and maybe what he said would be true. But if this gusher continues for several months, it's going to cover up the Gulf Coast, and it's going to get down into the loop current, and that's going to take it down to the Florida Keys and up the east coast of Florida. And you're talking about massive economic loss to our tourism, our beaches, to our fisheries, very possibly disruption of our military testing and training, which is in the Gulf of Mexico. And so when I pressed the BP CEO on that statement that you just played, his response was above his limited liability of $75 million, which is the statute. He says, well, we'll have to work that out.
And see, that's the problem. The senator picks that up as well, as he's part of the Sunday Swirl and was a guest on one of the Sunday cable shows, the talking heads that we see every single week. And Nelson wasn't the only one who expressed some concern. Senator Shelby had his own thoughts about it as well. Here's what he said.
Well, you raised that point, and that's a good one. On the other hand, BP is responsible for this. And responsibility covers everything, not just, you know, a limit on it like the law says today. I'm sure there are ways to get around this. But a lot of this could have been prevented. I don't know where the regulators were on this. They certainly were asleep. Secondly, where's BP? Were they trying to do this on the cheap? This reminds me, in a sense, it's like a big truck on the Los Angeles freeway with no brakes. In other words, no safety. You know, if you don't have this backup safety, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, sooner or later, there could be a spill, a gusher, as you say, oil all over the Gulf. It's still pumping every day by the thousands of barrels. This is going to do irreparable damage to our marine life, our beaches, our way of life. And if we don't stop it, let's hope and pray that this dome works. If it doesn't work, I don't know where we go.
Yeah, it's a disaster, no doubt about it. And it's just a question of directions, where it goes, where it hits. Beaches in Alabama, in one particular area, have already seen that the oil's come up. I'm sure many of you have seen the photographs of the pelican that was doused in oil. It's not looking real good, ladies and gentlemen. It is looking good on this show, though, because we're going to fill you in on all the spaces in between the gap from Friday until Sunday night, Mother's Day. And that includes the president's nominee for the Supreme Court round the bend.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Coming up at the end of the hour, when we are racing toward the finish line, we've got We Can Count for you that includes a perfect game. Ooh, I'm not going to give you any more hints, but that's my favorite thing. I always say the perfect game, or if you can see somebody hit for the cycle when you're at a game. I don't know why I like that deal. I think it's cool. I've never seen it, though. I've never seen anyone hit for the cycle. Come close, but not do it. I've seen it on the tube, but not in person. I think there's something about the electricity that runs through a ballpark when you're there, and there's a piece of history happening, some sort of record on the line, whether it's a pitching feat or something else, an offensive feat or some record being broken. It is a very strange and exciting vibe. Anyway, that's going to be part of We Can Count. Right now, she's hoping that she's going to create an exciting vibe, but I'm not so sure. This is a controversial choice, and of course, I think almost anyone of the names that were being thrown out would have been controversial. But let's put it this way. The first woman to be the U.S. Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, is now nominated, or is going to be nominated, by the president for that court vacancy. So she would end up being the fourth woman in history to serve as a justice if she, in fact, were confirmed. She was nominated for the Solicitor General spot, and she did win the confirmation of the Senate that time around, and the vote was 61-31. She was a previous dean of the Harvard Law School for a bunch of years, from, you know, early 2003 all the way through 2009. And her name came up when Sonia Sotomayor's name was up for the job. So if she takes that spot, if in fact she's confirmed, she would be the third woman sitting on the court and the fourth woman, like I said, to make history by being a Supreme Court justice. But this is the interesting thing. I tell you all these details, right? But what's missing in here is she's done a lot of things politically, but she was never a judge. She was a law school dean. She was a White House advisor during Bill Clinton's presidency, but never a judge. And I went back and thought to myself, because you start to think about this. Well, okay, you go through the current court, and then you go back before that. And the last two justices who weren't judges were William Rehnquist and Lewis Powell, and they were, you know, joined the court back in the 70s. So there could be a little bit of a fight here, and especially the timing, which that was Justice Stevens' choice by stepping away, by retiring, but you've got these midterm elections in November. Will this be a distraction? Does it make it go through faster? I mean, she's going to have rigorous questioning. That's what happens anyway, who's ever up there. I don't care who it is. If you remember any of the last Supreme Court nominees, even if you go back to the Bush days. So that this could be, there could be some hot button issues that could tear this wide open. Let me give you a few of them. One of them is the military recruiting at Harvard. And the reason there is because she was opposed to the recruiting at Harvard because of the U.S.'s policy that said, you know, barred gays basically from serving in the military. Don't ask, don't tell. So because she was making a point about that, she didn't want military recruiting at the school. Then when she was confirmed as Solicitor General, if you go back to the beginning of Obama, 2009, only 7 Republicans backed her. Now, Kagan wouldn't change what the balance of the court, basically the ideology, if you want to look at it that way, of the court. But she would probably, in most cases, side with the other more liberal justices on the bench. And, you know, you got the 5-member conservative majority. So that I don't think that anything changes at all with that. But when you look at a couple of things with her, like especially the one thing, the military recruiting thing, they're definitely gonna give her a hard time. And I'm not so sure with the midterm elections which way this goes. But she did win the vote from the entire Senate for the, even though it wasn't, you know, unanimous, she did win that for Solicitor General. But a little bit different when you're saying the Solicitor General versus somebody who is going to sit on the Supreme Court, a position that you're appointed to, and you have it until you die, until you die. Now, what's interesting is when I went back and I looked at, and we're going to do more research on this, too, as we go along here, because this will be a topic, I believe, for a while. But it's always going to be, how does she feel about the law? You know, that's one of the things that cropped up with Sotomayor. So when she goes to the confirmation process, just like when she was doing the deal with the Solicitor General's office, she was asked by the Judiciary Committee Chair, Patrick Leahy, whether she believed that the courts, rather than the elected branches, should take the lead in creating a more just society. And her answer, which I'm sure is probably printed now all over the place, her answer was at the time, "I do not agree with this view. I think it is a great deal better for the elected branches to take the lead in creating a more just society than for the courts to do so." When she was the dean at the Harvard Law School, she told the kids there and the faculty that Harvard would risk losing federal funding for the military if it refused to allow military recruiters on the campus, but she went against the armed forces ban because of the openly gay members thing. And there was a lot of protests over that. So it'll be interesting to see how much of a fight this becomes. My prediction, however, is it's easier for Kagan than it was for Sotomayor. And it doesn't change, anybody listening who's thinking about things that are coming down the pike, it doesn't change what I think is the deep background of the court, like I said, the ideology, because she would pretty much be on par with Stevens. I mean, almost right down the line, she'd be on par with Stevens. We'll have more, and we'll talk to some people about her qualifications, and ultimately, do they think that she will get the high sign, or will Obama be looking for somebody else? There were a lot of other things, as I said, holes to fill in from over the weekend that happened over the weekend, including a couple of other things. Like, it was Saturday, and I was somewhere, and I got texted from somebody in New York a friend of mine in New York to tell me, what about this ferry thing? And I had no idea. I hadn't even been up very long. And it turns out, sadly, here we go again, that we've got another ferry accident in New York City, the Staten Island Ferry. And this time, and initially what I heard was that there might have been people killed, but that didn't happen. Instead, what happened, there was no engine alarms, but the ferry malfunctioned, apparently. It was coming into a terminal and just rammed into a pier. Is that not the scariest feeling? I don't know how many people have been on ferries in general. I've been on many in my day. I've been on the Staten Island ferry a ton of times. And it is always weird. It's a big boat, and it's usually, when I've been on, it's been crack full of people. And I can just visualize what that must have been like, because it looks like it is just going to go right over the pier, like something's wrong. So there were people that were injured, and the NTSB said that the ferry's two forward engines that were facing the dock stopped when it was impacted, but the two rear engines were still going, and that's what kept it pushing. And, you know, this was a busy time. It's almost summertime. They've had nice weather in New York. 252 people were on that puppy, about 18 crew people, and it just crashed into the terminal. So they're trying to parcel it out, you know, whose fault was this? And talking to the chief engineer who was in the control room and said there wasn't any alarms, there was nothing to notice. So it looked like normal. It just prior to docking, nothing was strange in the propulsion system or the electrical system. And immediately you think alcohol, drugs, and they do those tests. That's part of the deal. They did the tests on the crew members. None of that has come out at this point that there was any of that happening. So the alcohol tests are usually done by the Coast Guard, and they were all negative. And the drug test, that's the part that takes a little bit longer. They're being evaluated at this point. And they're going to have to just collect as much stuff as they can. But 37 people were injured. But with so many people on that boat, they're so lucky it wasn't worse, because people are taking pictures. They're hanging off the end of the ferry, and they're not expecting this. You're going to dock, and poof, it slams right there into the pier. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we've got odds and ends here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan, and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Hi, I'm Sarah Atkins, inventor of Better Than Rocks, the one-of-a-kind solution to planter drainage. A few years ago, I searched for a lightweight product to put in the bottom of my containers to help with drainage. I found there was nothing on the market, so I decided to develop something myself. The result is Better Than Rocks. It keeps soil in, lets excess water out, and helps oxygen reach the plant's roots by creating an air pocket in the bottom of the planter. This helps the plant absorb nutrients, which is necessary to grow healthy plants. Better Than Rocks is practically weightless, so your containers will be lighter. And it's made of 100% recycled plastic right here in North America. You can reuse it year after year, so it should never end up in a landfill.
I discovered Better Than Rocks last year, and I was happy to find my plants were much healthier, fuller, and the containers were easy to move around.
Ask for Better Than Rocks at your favorite garden center, or visit
Better Than Rocks.
.com.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely
black. All right, this part of the show is directed towards odds and ends. In other words, we're going to clue you in because you've been busy shopping for your mother or your wife or whoever. And you probably didn't pay too much attention. Maybe you were swinging a golf club, or you were out chasing the grandkids around, or kicking back with a cold one, or reading a book, whatever you would be doing on the weekend. So you missed some of the things that happened, and, you know, tick, 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 everything keeps moving, even on the days where you chill. But I want to dip back into the oil spill. At the beginning of the show, we let you hear part of the Sunday Swirl, where you had Senator Bill Nelson and you had Senator Richard Shelby on the show, and they were reacting to the oil spill and talking about how, you know, BP would pay and they would have this legislation and it would be retroactive and whatever. But there's no guarantee of that, because they're certainly, they have plenty of lawyers and they could fight that and say it's not fair. And that's why he's emphasizing legitimate claims. It would be easy to fight that. And I think they probably would. They don't look like the bad guys now, and the focus is just on cleaning this thing up. Not even so much on the whys and all that, but just getting it done at this point. But what's interesting is, how come there weren't tougher regulations in the first place? And doesn't that fall into the lap of the people in Washington? See, I'm about the offshore drilling, because we have a thirst for something called oil. And if we don't satisfy that thirst at this point, because we're so far behind the eight ball in developing other forms of technology, there's not a lot of ways around this. We're dependent on our friends in Canada or from the people in the desert in the Middle East, but we don't have enough of our own sources, and we could have, I believe. Because you have to remember, when you talk about offshore drilling, the first step is when you get the leases and all that stuff, you have to have the oil. That's why the drill, baby, drill. You got to drill and find it. And that's why people pony up the money to pay the amount of money that you have to pay to put up these platforms, etc. That's why they own a piece of the lease or whatever. And now you got to figure there's going to be a big fight about opening up anything from Delaware all the way down to Florida. So why weren't there tougher? It's you know, it's like the mines. We see the horrible accident that happens, and accidents can happen, of course. It's dangerous. It's dangerous in the mines. It's dangerous on the platform. But why weren't there backup systems? In both of those cases, they have that in common. Why weren't there backup systems? Why wasn't there more attention paid to regulation? And why weren't there more lawmakers who jumped all over that? I mean, certainly we've got oil platforms in the United States, in California and off the Gulf of Mexico and other places. I mean, we have them. So we know these are the possibilities. And it's always, this is always what happens. Can we not be active instead of reactive? I mean, I know you can't be on top of every single thing, but we know the big ones, right? So why is it always about reaction? How about getting in front of the eight ball before disaster occurs? I mean, and this BP thing is a disaster. They're mulling over options again. You're talking about the daily push, the rush of about 200,000 gallons of this stuff. And it's already hit some shores. And when it hits, it's those tar balls that I was describing. And let me tell you about this again. If you missed the conversation the first time around because you were listening to Aliens Down the Dial on my uber famous friend who has a gazillion stations, George Norrie, but he's not talking about the oil spill. So here's what you've learned on America Tonight. If, sadly, like where my brother lives and my nephew and sister-in-law and my aunt who lives in Florida in a beautiful area, if that happens, that means if they're going to enjoy the beaches there, it's enter at your own risk. Because first of all, probably the oil would lap up in the beginning part of the summer. We're talking about June and then into July. And then the cleanup is exactly what I said. It's pretty much here's the cotton balls and here's the baby oil, because you'd have that on your feet. Even if they clean it up, it's very hard to get it all the way out. Years later, you can still be coming across the oil. And I wonder, would that send more people in other directions? Like, forget it, we're going to go up to Jersey and go to the Jersey Shore. Or we're going to go up the coast a little bit further, because as much as we love Florida and our family's been coming here forever and ever, we're not going to be on those kind of beaches with our kids. So I'm going to want to go through that. Are you kidding me? And that's the upshot of it. Where were the regulations? Do you agree? I mean, it's easy to cast BP as the bad guy, because they are. It's their spill. That's a given. It's like Massey Energy with the West Virginia mine. Oh, of course. They're the culprits. Absolutely. Put them on the board. They're there. But then it trickles down, and whose fault is it after that? Who could have perhaps done something that would have made a difference in those lives? Because there were 11 guys killed, presumably, that were never found, their bodies were never found, with that explosion on that platform off the Gulf of Mexico. So where do you put your lawmakers, our lawmakers? Where do you hold their feet to the fire on this one? I think they're right up there. There's things that they should have paid attention to. 800-259-5791. Okay, some more odds and ends for you. Let's jump on this, because it wouldn't be a Sunday into Monday show to start off the week if I wasn't talking about some kind of earthquake and the possibility of a tsunami. So believe it or not, yes, there is one to report. I don't make this stuff up. There was a big tsunami scare, and that happened in Indonesia. So the preliminary magnitude was 7.4, and it was northern Sumatra where this quake hit. 7.4, that means you're going to have a tsunami watch or a warning. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but for that size of a quake, it's enough that it could do something to trigger a tsunami. So far, and luckily, no, that has not happened, because it happened in the afternoon. So I think you can sound the all clear unless they have some other kind of a quake. But, you know, you just think about this. You think back. Think back to when Bush was president. It was 2004. The Indian Ocean tsunami, how many people died? And that was terrible. 230,000 people died. So if you live there, you're always on high alert because you know it's a possibility. And not too far in the rearview mirror, one of the worst ever hit those islands and hit that area over there. So once again, like I said, it wouldn't be an America Tonight show if we didn't have at least one earthquake to talk about. And here it is, the beginning of the week. And do you believe it? Do you believe it? We're talking about it. Crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. Speaking of crazy, this would be the blunder of the day. We'll see how our live audience in Minnesota reacts to this. But there was a couple and their kids, and they had to be picked up by a British warship. A British warship, you heard me right, the HMS Clyde. And they're taking them on because the reason they're taking them on is because they had to be rescued after their yacht hit an iceberg. They were doing an around the world voyage, and I guess they didn't plan for the iceberg. So yeah, they hit an iceberg.
What, are you kidding me?
I am so not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. And they were in the South Atlantic, and it was a low-lying iceberg, to be fair. But when you say low-lying iceberg, think about it. Have you ever heard those words before? Does the Titanic raise a red alert with anybody listening? Very similar to what happened to the Titanic. And they, you know, where they were going, where they were, Falkland Islands, and they sent an SOS. They were taking on water, so it was bad. They had engine failure. And what the Coast Guard said is they hit a growler. And it's kind of not really out of the water. The majority of it is submerged, so it is a little bit tougher to see. You can track them by radar or sometimes visually, or you can't see them at all. It's a very weird thing. So the lucky news here is, unlike the Titanic, there was a British warship in the area, whatever they were doing, the HMS Clyde, like I mentioned before. So they're jumping on board with them and heading on. That would be strange. That'd be scary. It just goes to show you, money does not buy security, even when it comes to sailing around the world on a yacht. So that makes for the blunder of the day, no doubt. You know, in the yacht, comfortable, just doing the around the world thing. Who knew, right? Who knew? All right, here's our last one on odds and ends that I think you'll find interesting. Mexico has extradited a former state governor to the United States. And why? To face charges of helping a cartel smuggle coke throughout the area of Cancun headed to the U.S. market. Probably figuring Cancun, you know, a bunch of drunk teenagers or college students or other people who are just going to have a good time. They're not paying attention. They're in a haze of their own. And the guy's name is Mario Villanueva, and he was governor of Quintana Roo from 1993 to 1999. So he was turned over. And what do you think they're going to do to him now? What do you think they're going to do to him? He is the first former governor to be extradited to the U.S. on drug charges. It caught my eyes, like, wow, the reverse road. I mean, now they're just kick anyone over to us, right? So he's charged, seriously, in New York federal court with aiding the Juarez cartel. And they were smuggling hundreds of tons of Colombian coke to the U.S. That's how much. He got about $500,000 for each of the shipments, so he was making serious dough. And they were able to get him. And now we'll see what kind of justice he gets. He's going away forever, let's just say that. Coming up, we're not going away forever. Round the hump, we're going to be talking about this segment, We Can Count.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dried Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Global Environmental Energy Technology. It sounds scary, doesn't it? Well, it could be if you're a Bilderberger, because this amazing invention is really about making clean energy very affordable for everyone. We call it GEET. Now, thanks to a worldwide grassroots intervention, the suppression of GEET is over, and its inventor is free again to share it with you. Paul Pantone, inventor of the GEET fuel processor, only has a few openings remaining for the U.S. GEET dealership training program. You can be personally trained by Paul to become a GEET dealer from May 17th to May 21st, or from June 21st to June 25th. For details, visit GEETInternational.com. Do it now, because when Paul has his 100 dealers, the U.S. school will close. Visit GEETInternational.com or send an email to paul@geet.nl. That's GEETInternational.com or email to paul@geet.nl.
Heavy load on this Mother's Day, right? With heavy stories from the oil spill all the way down to murdering thugs of the drug cartel. So let's lighten the load on We Can Count. How about this? The Oakland A's, this is for our pal Don in Wyoming, who usually calls, and Matt will always get real jazzed. He's like, hey, our man Don's on the line. So anyway, Don's a big Oakland A's fan. I'm sure he's stoked about this, as one of their pitchers pitched a perfect game against the Rays. And how it went, because I looked at some of the clips, I didn't actually see it live. The guy's name is Dallas Braden. And I mentioned this before, that part of We Can Count would be this athletic feat, because to me, when you go and see history made, that's when it's really exciting. I've been to all kinds of stadiums and ballparks, and you can just, it's like the air gets sucked out of the place. I bet that's the best way I can describe it. You know, Super Bowls and big events can be that way if it's kind of close. If it's a blowout, it doesn't have the same feel. So anyway, a perfect game in my mind absolutely stacks up as an incredible feat, because there's not, it's not so easy to do, obviously. He pitched the 19th perfect game. That's how not so easy it is to do in Major League history. Not just in modern times, in history. And he shut down the hottest team. 4-0 Oakland A's over the Rays. And he was so excited. I mean, he threw his hands up into the air, went crazy. A guy that I used to know that played for the Rangers, Gabe Kapler, grounded out to the short for the final out. You know, it's always nervous time out in the outfield or even in the infield because nobody wants to blow it. And how interesting is this? You think of Alex Rodriguez, now just a footnote after the feud that the two of them have going, as he is now Mr. Perfect. And there was nothing was too close that I could see of in the highlights. The closest the Rays ever got to a hit was a liner to third leading off the game. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even in a problem then at that point. And what this guy is most known for is what I alluded to with A-Rod. His enraged reaction to Rodriguez walking across the mound back on April, still a couple weeks ago, still angry with the game, he told the slugger to go do laps in the bullpen if he wanted to traipse across a mound. And it was still bubbling up last week. And when he was asked about it, A-Rod on Friday in Boston, he was asked about this feud thing. And he said he didn't want to give him any extra 15 minutes of fame. So how wild is it that he pitches this perfect game? Oh, man. Is that crazy, Matt? I mean, because like I said, there was the words between him and A-Jerk, and then he ends up with the game.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome that he was able to come back kind of after all. He got his little 15 minutes of fame for having his little disagreement with A-Rod and kind of stick it to him a little bit and prove that he may be around a lot longer.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Hey, speaking of perfect things, this is another crazy story for We Can Count. It has to do with $1 million, and not a professional athlete, but a gamer. And a gamer won that money for pitching the virtual perfect game. 24 years old, and that's how old he is, Wade McGilbury, and he's a kid out of Alabama. He won for that perfect game, like I said. He's just a video game record guy. Now he's a record setter. And he did it with this game called MLB 2K10. It's a simulation game from 2K Sports. What an accomplishment that is. And what's really crazy is 2K Sports thought when they dreamed this idea up, it would be hard, almost impossible for a player to do the perfect game in that game with the rules they put in place, but they did it within a day, or he did it within a day of the game's release. So not impossible, in fact, an easy thing to crack to have somebody do it right after that. So Wade did it. He had 6 tries and he made his mark in video game history. I mean, talk about hitting gold. He gets, you know, $1 million. They had to verify it, but it's been verified, so he gets it. And what's interesting, too, is a lot of times when, you know, like if you've ever gone to a golf tournament, guys, for a charity, and you see the hole-in-one sponsored by whatever, well, you know, they're not thinking someone's going to get a hole-in-one because it's pretty tough. But if somebody does, usually they'll have insurance. That's what you do. You buy an insurance policy so you don't have to plunk that money out. But 2K Sports didn't take out insurance because no insurance company could determine the odds of pitching a virtual perfect game. So it does come out of the company's budget. 2K has to pay it. But I'm thinking they're probably getting a lot of publicity for this. So if somebody hadn't heard of them, and I think the game is pretty well known, but if for some reason it's not known to some people, it may drive other gamers to go and pick it up. I don't know. But it still was crazy that only took a day. Matt, do you believe that? They put it out there. They think it's going to be hard. And then the 24-year-old guy knocks it down within just a day of the release.
There are some people that have a lot of time on their hands. And I'm sure he was probably one of those guys that had been playing for many years of that, you know, the 2K series. And it's just, I can't believe that, though. It's so funny that it takes him less than 24 hours and the contest is already over.
Yeah, just thinking, oh, you know, I've got it. It's, you know, there's no way that's going to happen. and he nails it that quickly. That's
I'd like to see the video of him winning and his little reaction to it.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, as much as you could bag on gaming and what's the deal with the computer geekiness when it's over the top and you get these kids who aren't running around, aren't doing anything, and when things like this happen, it makes the argument on the other side, well, you know, look what happened with this guy, and there are people who make an incredible living on gaming of all things. Everything's about the internet. Everything. Have you filled up lately? Are you feeling the pinch when you pull up to the pumps? You know, how about this? The average cost for a gallon of regular is up to $2.92. The most expensive gasoline, not a surprise to me, I say this all the time when you check the list, is Chicago. They had the highest, and it was over $3. They do a national Lumberg survey of fuel prices, and they always release it on the end of tail end of the weekend. So more than 7 cents over a two-week period is pretty high. It's starting to climb into over the $3 mark in a lot of areas, so people are going to start to gripe again about gasoline. I'm going to tell you about something that I did heading into the weekend. I had the chance to drive, and not drive, I had a chance to go and ride in an electric car, and it's called the Zoidy, and it's a car that was made in China, just came here to the United States. One's in California. They have prototypes. One's in California, and one is in Dallas, Texas. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed with this car. The seats are leather. To charge it was not a big deal. And there are off times when you can charge it. They basically told me it'd be like 1 cent a mile or something like that, much cheaper than gasoline. And the ride was amazing. City-wise, and driving city-wise, they figure it's about 175 miles or perhaps up to 200. Now, the trick is always going to be with electric cars is the charging stations when you're going somewhere else, if somebody was taking long trips or whatever. But what somebody would pay for this electric car, it's like Nissan doing their electric car thing, and ultimately what you would get in the rebates and also the tax breaks that you would get, I can see that more people, with what's happening, especially now with gasoline, if that continues to go up, I can see people becoming much more intrigued with electric cars. There's no reason we couldn't have electric cars all over the roads by now, but because it was killed decades ago and now it's just starting to come out once again, we're definitely behind that curve. But it was pretty cool, and this was a car from China, made in China. And I think the goal with the company is to have Americans work on it and give it that American twist. But I have to say, I think that some of us in the future are going to be riding in those electric cars.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You look ravishing. It truly is Beauty and the Beast. I might add a handsome beast to that.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.